Hey everyone, welcome to Cloud Masters. I'm your host, Matan Bordeaux. I'm joined by my co-host, Sam Clark. And today, we're jumping into FinOps, but with a special focus for finance leaders and FinOps practitioners. So I think while most of our episodes, at least in the more recent past, have been technically oriented for engineers, this conversation is going to take a slightly different angle. And so according to the last State of FinOps report, we're seeing a major shift towards what they're calling Cloud Plus. So where FinOps teams and finance are tackling not just cloud costs, but expanding to SaaS, licensing, other technology spending beyond just cloud. And finance involvement here is critical for success. Yet many finance leaders are still struggling with the fundamentals of cloud economics. And that's why we've invited Ian Hart, who's a technical account manager at Duit. He works with lots of huge companies, bridging the worlds of finance and cloud tech. So bridging basically finance and engineering teams. And Ian's going to help us understand how finance teams can effectively navigate the transition from maybe the traditional fixed costs that they're used to the fluid spending model of cloud. So Ian, welcome. First question, maybe could you walk us through how cloud computing has transformed the financial model for technology compared to maybe what some folks are used to with traditional IT?
Yeah, sure. I think we're used to dealing with, you know, obviously we're a cloud partner. We're used to dealing with technical people who've known about the cloud for a long time and have been dealing with the cloud for a long time. But quite often when you move to the business side or finance, these are people who've no doubt, you know, not unreasonably been focusing on their own aspect and their own area of expertise and not really paying a huge amount of attention to the tech. So you really got to go back to the beginning. And when you think about, you know, pre-cloud days, finance was a relatively more simple world. You had budget holders and you had funding rounds. So if somebody had an idea for some tech, they would describe it. There would generally be, you know, three levels of how resilient or good it was, and there'd be three levels of cost. And somebody would say, okay, let's go for that one. And there'd be a, you know, a funding round, and there'd be an amount to pay, and finance would know about that. Then there would be a kind of ongoing operational cost. And that's kind of how it was. Now, any kind of large scale expenditure had to be approved. And you move into the cloud, and you've got what is effectively, and I quite often have to explain to finance people what the cloud is right from the beginning. You know, it is like an electricity supply. You pay for how much you use and no more. And of course, whilst that's got a lot of benefits, there's a real dark side for financial planners, because you all of a sudden you go into a world where they are no longer approving spend, and seemingly things, you know, beyond their power can cause increases in cost. And these aren't just, you know, your usual operational stuff. It's the whole CapEx to OpEx challenge. And that's that fundamentally undermines how your finance, your old sort of finance process manages and budgets and forecasts and detects whether, you know, detects anomalies, detects whether things are going correctly. And these are the guys that kind of underpin financial business decision making. So it's a real change. It's a real challenge for them.
What do you think are, like, from talking to them? Because I remember you mentioned that you were part of some CFO roundtables as well. I'm wondering, just from your experience and maybe from these non-customer situations, but maybe, you know, these CFO roundtables, what are some of the more common misconceptions you see them bringing in to cloud cost management, these finance leaders, whether CFOs and whatnot?
Yeah, I think that the cloud, you know, what constitutes the cloud cost is complicated. It's complex, and they're not easily, you know, these kind of these data points you're dealing with in the cloud bill, they're not very easily translatable to the function that these things necessarily serve. So the cloud bill becomes something of an impenetrable thing, and that means it's viewed as a thing on its own. And so you can often tell there's a symptom of poor FinOps in any organization when IT is talking about finance, talking about cloud spend. You know, cloud spend, it's a thing on its own. It has no particular value. It doesn't support anything. You know, they understand that it's running a bunch of things, but they don't know what. And so it's the visibility of it is as a, just a single big cost. And so you get this general pressure from the business, from finance, to reduce this enormous big cost. And ultimately, because they don't see or they don't understand the individual values that, that cloud cost is. They don't understand the value of the cloud spend. They don't understand necessarily what it's supporting. And this is fundamentally your kind of start point. And of course, if you've got an industry which isn't just cloud, which is hybrid, then you've got finance teams who are still dealing with the kind of pre-cloud world, if you like. And they're using the same processes across all their spend. And effectively, they're turning the cloud into one large, completely uncontrollable capital expenditure, which, yeah, it's very, very difficult for them to deal with and very hard to, for them to turn that into something upon which you can make reasonable decisions. So it's difficult. It's a real challenge. And you tend to find it is pretty widespread. It's actually the exception to the rule where finance pretty much understands what's going on in the cloud.
I think Ian, probably you'd have experience in the same thing, but I see a lot of teams, or especially the CFOs and finance teams, will come to us and ask a question like, how much would this new workload cost, right? And in the old school environment, you could say, well, it's two servers and a switch and a rack, and we can build out a bill of materials, and we'll use that, and it'll cost this much, and then we'll amortize that across 3 years or 5 years, or whatever our plan is. Whereas in the cloud, we can do an estimate. We can tell you what a similar system cost us, but if we haven't designed it right, or if it goes viral and suddenly we're getting a lot more traffic than we have in the past, there's all these variable costs that leaders aren't necessarily used to. Have you found a good way to bring that explanation to those teams?
So I think this is where we come to things like scaling factors. So this is where, I mean, first of all, you've got to go, as I said at the beginning, you've got to go back to basics, and you have to kind of educate the finance team. Now, this is particularly difficult if you're coming from IT because you're not finance, and so why, you know, so there's a cultural challenge there. But ultimately, to understand the cloud, we have to, first of all, explain the cloud. So we have to break it up. And then we've got to explain why it changes without their intervention, why it changes particularly without their approval. And that's kind of, you know, that's a summary of everything that comes next, if you like.
Just to help them get used to, or not get used to help these folks adjust to this new variable model. Are there, you know, different frameworks they should be, a different lens they should be looking at this through, different KPIs that they should measure with cloud versus what they might have assumed they should bring to the table when measuring efficiency or, you know, their ROI?
Fundamentally, what we have to do is break the cloud up into chunks that underpin business value. And I think, you know, this is sort of page one of the FinOps Foundation, you know, understanding the business value of the cloud. But it is actually quite a simple task in execution, but it can be quite a challenging task in kind of design. I mean, ultimately, it comes back to the question, you know, if I turn the cloud off, what suffers? Because these are business values. What happens? What's our adverse reaction to turning off the cloud? And so if you could say, okay, this feature's gone, let's turn it on again, let's switch it on again, and let's just draw a kind of ring fence around those costs, so we understand that this feature that you wanted switched on, this benefit, whatever it is supported by these cloud costs, and that's something that, you know, you have to go throughout the entire bill and produce this in chunks. Now IT is very used to this. IT, when it comes to cloud costs, they do that sort of thing quite readily, but they can overcomplicate things. IT tends to focus on the detail, whereas what you really need with finance is to define what those business benefits are, what those things that the cloud is underpinning are. Then when you've got a cost for how much that is, you can start effectively working out how valuable the cloud is being. So if I have a business benefit that's really, really useful, that I think is right up there, and it costs this amount, well, I can, first of all, this is my first round of business decision making. I can decide whether it's worth paying that money or not, or whether I need to do something about it. The next phase is what you might call demand drivers or scaling factors. And this is to try and understand and make explicable the variations in the cloud cost. Now, we all know that there's a whole cottage industry in doing this, but ultimately identifying something that increases or decreases, that causes a corresponding increase and decrease in the cloud costs assigned to that benefit. Now, that's easy to say, and sometimes it's very, very difficult, particularly if things are combined. But ultimately, when you can present finance with something which is, you know, a relatively simple object with a relatively simple growth factor, things start to become explainable. And this is the point at which you can kind of take this CapEx model that they're working with and start to morph that into something which is an amount with a driver for variance, rather than, you know, just part of a big cost that changes all the time. It's small steps. It's identifying the kind of cost bucket and identifying what causes it to change. And that's really step one for each of the cost buckets or each of the, you know, ring-fenced costs, whatever you want to call them, that make up the whole of the cloud bill.
So that sounds all a bit esoteric, Ian. Let's just dive in a little bit on that. The first round you mentioned was identifying the cost of something that's driving a business outcome. So a very simple version of that, in my mind, keep me honest here, correct me if I'm wrong, would be a retail website has a cost for running the checkout process, right? Now, that's a non-negotiable part of running a retail website. You have to have a checkout, and you're collecting money. And you can figure out then that every transaction costs me 1 cent, 10 cents, a dollar, whatever that number is. The second round of that then is something is helping me drive more traffic or more repeat purchases or something like that on my website. So for example, we've all seen them before. If you like this handbag, perhaps you'll like these shoes, right? A recommendation engine that says other customers that bought this would buy that. And then by taking the price of our recommendation engine and comparing it with our increase or decrease in sales, we can figure out whether that is a good thing. And based on the business outcome there, we can figure out whether it's a good thing for our business. Is that the direction you're headed there?
Yes, ultimately. I think, again, we need to start from the other end of the scale from IT. So we need to start with something that's relatively simple that we can then complicate, rather than IT tends to start with the building blocks and builds up. So in your example of an online retail platform, which is an excellent example and you know, one that most people will dive to. Everyone uses Amazon, right? I was trying to say that, but yeah. So that's pretty much where we start. Now, yeah, so you've got your example there, which is, you know, the checkout process. The thing about the checkout process is that might get invoked more often depending on what you sell, right? So that's one particular kind of scaling factor that you might have to consider, right? So the other scaling factor you might think of is the number of customers. Now, you could look at that. These are effectively, these things are unit economics, and they're both different unit economics, but you're applying them to the same cost, which actually makes sense. Because if I think about my overall cost, I can divide my overall costs roughly by the number of users, okay? So I have the users because they drive the activity. So I can say, for instance, that for this, the way I'm practicing my business right now, I have 10,000 users and it costs 10,000 customers, sorry, and it costs me this much. If my, let's call them daily active, you know, people doing stuff, my daily active users double, then there will be a rise in my costs, my cloud costs. If they double again, there should be a proportional rise on the last one. But if I change, for instance, the way I sell, so people no longer come along and maybe buy a load of stuff, but they come back every time. So maybe I switch them to IoT or something and they're automatically buying all over the place. Then I'm going to invoke the parts of the platform that do that billing. So I'm actually going to make the platform busier without increasing the number of customers. So there are, you know, that's a perfectly valid unit economic, because if I change how I do my business and my costs go up, but my number of customers don't, then that's an understandable cost because I'm driving the platform harder. If I don't do that, am I not, you know, it's equally explicable. So the difficult bit here is that there's never a single answer, and there might often be several, but it really is the only way to kind of get to grips with how your cloud costs are changing. I can't remember if it was a part three of that question, but that
I was wondering, do you have any actual real life examples of a customer you've worked with that maybe started off like the typical, or like the finance person or the finance team, the FinOps person that we described in the beginning, and they adapted their processes, their financial processes for the cloud? Do you have a more specific story you could share without, you know, mentioning the company's name?
Yeah, unfortunately, I have an embarrassment of riches. There are lots of tales. There's one company that I spent a fair amount of time dealing with, and again, they followed a very typical track where FinOps began with IT because IT was managing the cloud. This was a company that had migrated, so they had gone from entirely on-prem to the cloud, and they'd done it very quickly because they'd gone entirely Kubernetes while they're on-prem, and they made their migration easy. So it was very much of a snap. Within kind of 8 months, they went from completely on-prem to completely in the cloud. And that meant zero changes to the personnel in the finance team. And so the IT team was straight away put under pressure because this was a different set of costs that didn't entirely align with the old world. And they were the ones that I heard the phrase, you know, finance wants to put a cap on cloud spend more times there than I think anywhere else. And it was clear, right? It was very clear. It was glaring. All the symptoms were there that finance were really struggling with the fact that cloud was there. Now, IT was trying to do what often IT does in these circumstances, which is reduce the cost. And their business was growing, and their cost reduction efforts were getting lost because the demand was going up. And this wasn't appreciated by the business and by IT. It was just still this big cost that didn't seem to be going down. And IT was working, their approach to FinOps was to do, was to work out, for instance, how much each transaction cost and try and drive the cost of each transaction down. But of course, that didn't necessarily relate to a business benefit because these transactions were being used kind of at one remove from what the customers were doing. And so what we started off by doing was really talking to finance and explaining to finance, first of all, what the cloud was, and secondly, that they didn't need to know what was going on in the cloud. They just needed to know what the cloud was serving. And so the big change was when the customer formed a kind of, I can't remember what they called it. It wasn't FinOps, but a kind of cross-function team where IT and a representative finance would get together to work through exactly what finance saw in terms of their revenue lines and their benefits and all that kind of stuff, and how they mapped back to the cloud costs. Now, this is before we do any kind of run rate reduction or efficiency analyses or anything like this. It's just basically matching this chunk of cost for this service or this value or this, you know, business benefit, and then producing reports. And so delivering those reports to finance. And this inevitably, you know, drives more questions, it drives more analysis, it drives more understanding. And you know, effectively, you almost can't help the situation improves because finance starts to, finance never has to understand the cloud. It just needs to know what the cloud's for, you know, what it's doing. This junk is for that. There is always, a fair way to go. But finance finance was represented at the table for cloud decisions, whereas it hadn't been before. And so that was a major change for them. And there's a lot of work to do. There always is, but it was a significant improvement.
I think that also highlights one of the common or most common misconceptions about FinOps, right? And Ian and I have spoken at length about this before, and that is that most companies equate cost optimization and FinOps as the one thing, right? Most people think FinOps means bringing my cost down, whereas it's actually far more about understanding my costs and understanding the business benefit of them, generating, like you just mentioned, that company had their cross-team workforce, whatever it was called, where they were able to bring in people from two different departments who didn't speak the same language. Finance people don't care about spot instances or committed use discounts or anything like that. And IT people don't really care about amortization of costs over years and so on. But they came together and were able to get the business value out of the technical product.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, you're absolutely right. And I think that the kind of the spin-off benefit from that is, well, first of all, the end result of finance having this data is that finance starts to understand that these demand drivers are things that happen in their world. And so for an example of that with this particular company is, and it was one of those where I happened to be on site at the time, but finance effectively opened a communication with IT because they happened to know that there was a big marketing push going on. And for the first time, and it might seem obvious, but it's not always, it's rarely the case, but for the first time, finance realized that a marketing campaign would have the ideal result of driving customers to the website, and that actually might have a downstream impact on the demand and therefore might push the cloud costs up. And this was a huge victory, you know, in understanding, because really that's what all finance needs to know, right? All finance needs to know is you know, which chunk of cost supports this and what's going to change it, because then they can equate cost changes to business actions, and then they can fundamentally, you know, that is when you get to the point where you understand the value of the cloud, and you can understand that those business actions, like a, you know, a deal with another company or a, you know, in that case a marketing campaign, are going to change the cloud costs. And ideally, you want to get to the point where IT or finance has a reasonable idea, at least within an order of magnitude, how much those changes are going to be.
Ian, you mentioned to me in the past that you believe that finance teams, it might be both. It was either should lead cloud cost management strategies or tagging, dictate the tagging rather than leaving it to IT. Was it both or was it just the tagging? I forget.
No, it's both. I think it's a bit contentious, but it's one of those things where if you look at the FinOps Foundation profiles, I love FinOps Foundation profiles. It's like a roadmap on how to do FinOps from a particular perspectives. But if you look at the finance team and the CFO profiles, they all have an involvement in tagging. And you kind of think, well, what the hell are they? The CFO is definitely not going to be involved in the practical approach to tagging. But what tagging is just a method of identifying costs, right? It's a method or it's a process whereby you can assign your costs to your business benefit. So where the CFO and where finance are involved in tagging is in effectively communicating what it is that they want to see the cost for. And this is really key. And we mentioned before that, you know, this is, you know, a sound financial foundation requires you understanding exactly how much your actions will cost you. You need to understand how much to charge. You need to understand revenue. You need to understand the cost of goods sold. You need to understand all of these things. The most junior person in the finance team will understand, right? But ultimately, you can't do this unless the cloud costs are explained to you. But the cloud costs won't be explained to it unless you know that you can ask IT to separate the costs out for this particular thing, this particular value, or this particular process, whatever it is you want to know. So this is a very much a process. It's almost like the demand for the cloud buckets, whatever they are, comes from the business, we're calling them finance, but anywhere in the business. And IT then works out a way of dividing those costs up and presenting the underlying cost for that particular thing. So in that way, finance kind of drives the tagging strategy. Finance, because if IT can't answer that question, it might be that they never can, depending on the platform. But if finance can't answer that question, then they need to drive to answer that question. Otherwise, the business decision-making capacity will suffer.
I think about it sometimes when we launch products at Duit, and I'll sometimes dictate to the product teams what events I want to track, so that I can then create dashboards and Mixpanel and monitor the things that I believe are indicative of product adoption or increases use of a specific feature and stuff like that. So even though I'm not maybe the most technical person, I'm still dictating that. And I was just drawing a parallel to, I guess, my own professional life, what you just described with finance, telling engineering or the technical teams what they want to see tagged.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, again, we're always starting at the beginning when we come to these relationships with finance, but you have to kind of get across to a finance team that they don't need to learn the cloud. What we need to understand is you know, that they know the things are running on the cloud, and that then we can work our way through them to try and appreciate the cost of the things that are running on the cloud. And that's I think key to developing this relationship in finance in IT is understanding those two different roles. But finance definitely needs to, they're the kind of customer, really. I need this information out of this particular data set. The data set is the cloud costs, and the information they need is some ring fence costs for this particular thing, whatever it is. And that's, perfectly reasonable. And in fact, it should be the case that finance should have that relationship with IT whereby they can ask for this. And that is providing them with the data that they need. We've all heard analogies, right? We've all heard the usual, the Fitbit analogy, where you've got your health data on your wrist, or is it the Prius analogy, where you've got the econometer on the dashboard. And that data being there drives the decisions, that because you've got that data, it's very easy to make those decisions. Now, if you scale that up to a business where finance is absolutely key and forecasting is key, finance teams exist because they're needed, right? And they really need to have the data that they need to be able to do those finance team things. And they really underpin that all decision making with any kind of business. So it's a very, very high importance.
We're gonna dive deeper in another episode on that tagging front. So, how to think about what tags you should, if you're a finance person and listening, how to think about what tags to ask IT to create and to tag resources with. But if someone's listening and maybe they're the beginner end of the spectrum here, in terms of familiarity with cloud, if there's just maybe one change you would suggest that they implement, in Q2, Q3, I'm sorry, what would you recommend that they do first? Just changing how they approach cloud spending. And they're on the more novice side of things.
So I guess that the key change, like everything else within, particularly cloud IT, everything is an iterative process, right? So I think the key change is if you like, kind of knowing what to know. So what's your approach? So IT really needs to understand that FinOps is not just cost optimization. FinOps was really born because of the challenges presented to businesses by dynamic costs that they couldn't predict and couldn't understand. IT needs to know that one thing, okay? And then their actions can follow. The business or finance needs to understand that the cloud cost isn't an avoidable cost, and they really need to understand what comprises that cloud cost, but they need to know it from a business perspective. And that, I think, if you can get that message across, or those two messages, one on each side, and kind of drive the interactions that then follow, that's really the first step on the path kind of thing to unit economics,
So the first step to good tagging is to not dive in and start tagging things randomly, with 500 different values that may or may not ever be useful, but it's to understand what level of detail you need and where you need it from, so that you can determine a good strategy, have a good language about, you know, how you're passing these costs around, and then pass on to the IT teams or the cloud management teams or whoever's doing it of what they actually need to tag, not just tag everything.
100%. Yeah. I think a lot of I've been in many kind of tagging strategy meetings or processes or involvements, and quite a lot of it starts with what I looked online for what a good tagging strategy should have, and I've got this lot.
Hopefully they find this episode next time.
too many of those, as Ian mentions, come out with, you know, we need 20 different tags on your data security levels and your optimization levels and your automation, and you can do all sorts of technical things with tags and all this stuff, but none of that helps you with understanding your costs. None of that helps you with driving your knowledge of the business outcomes versus the cloud costs related to those. This is definitely an area I've been banging the drum for years that less is more. Having two or three tags that are well designed, as in tag keys that are well thought out and applied very uniformly across everything, is much more valuable than having 500 possible tags that are not really used at all.
Yeah, and I think a good approach to a strategy. I've seen this, I think, recommended by AWS, is just to assign, you know, three tags for this purpose. We don't know what that purpose is going to be, but these get three tags, and there's four tags for operational reasons. There's, you know, three tags for business identification purposes, or, you know, in our world, it would be creating attributions, or, you know, and I think that's the kind of forward-looking approach, because you're never going to get all the right tags in the right place. So let's just earmark these for this purpose, those for that purpose, and we'll come back when we've worked out what that purpose is. But I think it's very rare to see the, you know, the business requirements represented in phase one of the tagging strategy. In fact, another one of my customers who is under very severe, you know, finance versus IT pressure, and they kind of understand. We've been talking FinOps for a long time. They don't have the bandwidth to spin anything up just now, so they're struggling with it. But they went through and they tagged a big effort to try and tag some of their resources, some of their platforms. So I asked them, you know, does this align with the way the business views it? And they didn't know, which I took as a failure, because they've been down for some time. But they didn't really think that. Their approach was much more on how these things run and, you know, driving efficiency, understanding how they are, working out cost reduction methods, which is fantastic, right? That is the IT part of FinOps. But the IT finance part of FinOps was missing entirely, even though they'd done all the work. Now, as it happened, they pretty much done it. They just had to go to the business and say, does this align with what you guys kind of measure or understand as our services? And they'd be there. But they hadn't done it, you know. They'd done the work, but they hadn't just asked that one question.
Yeah, I guess my last question, just to wrap this up, you mentioned it's a bit of an iterative process, and you described, I guess, the first step, you know, what you should do to get yourself on the right path. What do you see a more mature relationship between finance and IT looking like on the other end of the FinOps or FinOps spectrum? Like, what would the ideal look like, either in your head, or maybe you can cite a specific customer that you feel like has it right, that you've worked with?
No, I think like all of these things, if you describe an ideal and a perfect state, it is the iterative process. You're always going to have new stuff coming in. You're always going to have new things happening. You're always going to have all this different stuff. What I think is, you know, crawl, walk, run. What is run is having the iterative process that drives all the right behaviors. And I think that if you've got a process inherent where the business has a pathway, so the business has a question or wants to identify or wants to understand some cost they have a pathway. Now, we mentioned Cloud Plus right at the beginning. We haven't really really touched on that, but again, that is another fundamental aspect of how we measure the cloud, because Cloud Plus, or whilst it can include, you know, things like data center costs, stuff that doesn't really change very much, it can also include stuff that's wildly variable. You know, AI, right, is one of them. Now, again, I have another customer that switches between based on feature. And so those costs are definitely part of a cloud-based platform. And although you can do the maths, you can put one thing and another thing and you can add them up, it's much easier if, from a FinOps perspective, you present the same thing. So you present the application with those different functions all joined in together. And that's quite a kind of long-term distance view. I think the process, as well as ensuring that finance is getting the answers that they need, as well as ensuring that IT is doing all the right actions to identify and present those in the most accurate way possible and ever driving up the level of accuracy, that process should also include bringing in those external costs and fleshing out the entire cost of goods sold, right, for whatever particular thing it is. Because ultimately, that's the best result for finance. If they have a complete record of cost of goods sold, they understand the revenue gap, and they understand their profits, and they also understand what's driving changes, so they can forecast, and they can, you know, effectively start driving things from the business decision end, rather than the kind of reaction to the cost of the cloud. So I think, you know, it's actually not as tall an order as that sounds, because it's an iterative process, but you need to have those aspects in mind when you get together every month, or you develop your KPIs and you kind of drive that level of adoption.
I think also when you mentioned the previous example where you had this customer that realized there was a big marketing push coming, and the finance team were aware of that, probably from approving a budget or something, but they realized that was going to have an impact on the cloud-based systems with more users and more demand. Once you start getting to that level, when you realize that external events and marketing pushes and whatever else is going on are things that the whole company understands, as opposed to in a previous life for both of us, you know, the AWS TAM reaching out and saying, hey, Black Friday's coming up, or the Super Bowl's coming up. Have you got a strategy? Are you scaling up? And people start worrying about it, then it's obviously far too late, and it's not under the control of a team who understands the business impact and so on. So if you are getting to that point where the marketing teams, the finance teams are engaged and talking and can at least give you some sort of an idea, we're expecting to spend this much and drive this much increased engagement, then the IT teams and the technical teams can take a look at what that's going to do to them and how much more they need to scale and so on. I think that's probably another sign that you're in a good place in terms of that run that we talked about.
This is definitely a thread I want to pull on more. I did anchor on Cloud Plus, but I wanted to make sure maybe we cover the basics in this episode, and maybe in a couple others we can dive deeper into the finance-led tagging, we can dive deeper into kind of a Cloud Plus approach to unit economics. But thanks again for joining us, Ian. Thank you, Sam, as well, for sharing your insights. I think we can wrap it up for this episode, but I'm sure I'll see you guys in another FinOps related one.
Thanks, guys.
Awesome.